Just an overview of the chapter, and then we're going to focus on one particular thing, like I said. So, verse 6, Paul is talking about the mystery that was revealed to him. It says, this mystery, so it tells us, so before that he was talking about how God, through the Holy Spirit, has enabled him to understand the mystery. And the mystery revealed by the Spirit of God is that Gentiles, all non-Jewish people, are heirs together with the Israelites, with the Jewish people, that we are now able to be members of the same body, that we all share in the promise of Jesus, that there is not just something special for the Jewish people and then nothing for everybody else, but that if we come to a place of faith in Christ Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, we become heirs, co-heirs, joint heirs with the people of God, with the Israelites. But everything that was promised to them is now promised to us as God's people. So that's the mystery that Paul is talking about in the first part of the chapter. That up to this point, it was like people didn't really understand that that's what was happening. When people put their faith in Jesus, death and resurrection and all that meant, that now that means we are on equal standing. We have access to the fullness of God. We're not outsiders anymore. We're insiders. We're in the club, if you like, in the family. So that's what God had revealed to him, and that's what Paul was being imprisoned for preaching that message, that Jews and Gentiles could be part of the same kingdom of God. Then in verse 10, the second thing that I want to just pull out from this briefly, he talks about the church, which is what we're going to look at tonight. So God's plan is that through the church, we, as followers of Jesus, are gathered together as one body, as one, into one kingdom, that we have the privilege, the place of authority to make God known, to tell others, to show and demonstrate who he is and what his wonderful plan of salvation and reconciliation is, even into the spiritual realm. That's our role as part of the Church of Jesus, is to proclaim who God is, to demonstrate through changed lives who God is and the power of God and the power of his salvation. Then in verse 12, I'm whistling through this because we're going to focus in a minute. Verse 12, and this is one of my most favourite, I mean, I've got so much of Ephesians highlighted or starred or bracketed because it's really my favourite book, really, I think, of the whole Bible. But this is one of my particularly favourite verses, where it says, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. And obviously, for me, as you know, of my background of being one who felt inadequate and unable and totally undeserving of approaching God, that has been a really special verse for me, that actually, because of Jesus, because of my faith in Jesus, I have absolute freedom to approach God wherever, whenever, whatever I'm doing, whatever's going on, wherever I am, whatever's happening in life, however I'm feeling, I have absolute freedom to just come to God and speak to him and talk to him and to say what needs to be said, to say the deepest things of my heart that nobody else might ever know or understand, and to gain strength to do what needs to be done. So that's a really, really crucial point, I think, for us to understand, to really absorb the truth of that, because I think that actually is quite foundational for our lives every day. A life of faith in Jesus means that we can approach God. We have free and full access to God the Father. And I love that. I mean, I quite often will, it's almost like I can imagine myself as a child entering the throne room of heaven. And if I wasn't part of the family, there would be all sorts of protocols and permissions, you know, to get into the royal family, to get into like the Queen's audience, there has to be all sorts of things you have to go through to get to that point. But any of her family would be able to access her private room at any point. And that's the privilege that we have. We access the privacy of God, the fullness of who God is, because we are his kids. So I sometimes will just kind of, in my mind's eye, can picture myself running into the throne room of God, and God just saying to the angels, just step out of the way, here's Michelle coming through. What do you want, love? Kind of thing. You know, come on in, you come. Come and sit up here on my knee. Kind of, you know, that kind of personal intimacy that we have freedom to access that fully. And it's not dependent on me doing anything. It's just dependent on me being God's child. And that nothing can take that away. I am God's child, and that's the top and bottom of it. So nothing can stop me from having that free access to God, because nothing can take me away. Nothing can stop me being his daughter. So this verse 12 about having this free access to approach God is really, really crucial for us to actually do that, to confidently access God, to confidently, however we're feeling, whatever we've done, know that we are welcome and anticipated and sung over, like it says in Zephaniah, God sings songs of rejoicing over us. And that's so important for us to have that security, I think, is really, really vital for our lives. Then the last part of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14 onwards, like it said on the little video clip, is a prayer for strength by the Holy Spirit, for us to be strengthened. And I've often used these words as a prayer for myself and obviously for other people. It's a great thing to pray for other people as well as for ourselves. That we're asking for something. And we're coming to God, and it talks about his glorious riches. It's based on God's glorious riches. It's not, we're not coming and asking for help or strength or wisdom or knowledge or revelation out of a meager pot, out of something that's not a very good supply.
Rations.
A ration supply. It's just not ration. It's a glorious riches, you know, glorious riches. And I just think that's amazing as well, that actually we can... It's just the front door's not shut, probably. That God actually wants to do that. He wants to pour into our lives from his riches. He doesn't want to just give it, like, drop by drop. And he wants us to have that understanding of his love, that we are rooted and established in that love, so that actually we come before him with confidence. And the Amplified... just says it like this, that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ. And we each need that. It doesn't matter how long we've been a Christian, it doesn't matter what kind of background or knowledge or education level we're at or anything, each of us needs to know through personal experience the love of Christ. And I love that Paul puts that in as a prayer that we can use for ourselves as well as... And it's a great prayer to pray for other people. I think, what a wonderful thing to pray for other people. So, that's the Whistle Stop Tour overview of Ephesians chapter 3. We could take months to unpack all of that, but we're going to take the next few minutes to focus on verse 10.
Okay.
So we're going to look at verse 10 in a bit more in depth, because verse 10 is all about the church. And that's what we are. We are God's church. So, you're going to do a little bit of thinking now. I want you to think for a minute and then tell me some words. What comes to mind when we say the word church? Best school script. So, church, what does church mean? What is church?
Family.
Of course, you want to come out with all the right answers straight away, aren't you?
Building!
Yay! That's it. That's it. It's not
harsh to Jesus right now.
Community.
I'm going to speak very quickly.
I think someone needs to say God.
This is a tough word for me. Ecclesiology.
What we are studying is the ecclesiology. It is the theology of what is church. Mm. So I'm not going to write the word. Because you know what it means.
You probably can't spell it more than anything else.
It
doesn't have anything.
I haven't even looked at it. It'd be two C's, but I don't know how many S's. One S. Mm. Ecclesiology. Mm. Anything else?
Unity.
Sunday morning.
Okay. How to put Sunday?
A bride?
Yeah.
Maybe we can have a letter because it is our title.
Persecuted.
Ooh. Hey, well done, Sue.
It's electrocuted. It just happened.
Missionaries.
Just go mission.
Missionaries.
Communion.
Bells and smells.
Which I've done, guys.
The same as bells and smells.
Yeah.
So traditions, you mean?
Traditions.
Traditions?
Incense.
Oh. Is that okay? Traditions like
what?
Liturgy.
It's like we're close,
right,
but
I love it.
Well, in some churches they ring a bell to call you to worship. It's like a tradition type thing. Going into places other people don't.
Mission.
That's not a one. What mission?
Prayer.
Could put the heart of God.
Money. Land. Politics.
Oh, you're a roll now.
Okay, that's fine.
Okay, so. Some people might think of church as a place. Mm-hmm. So a little example, very topical. The church where Becky and Eddie go, the church that Becky and Eddie are part of, is the correct terminology, had a wedding on Saturday. And Becky was showing me some photographs. And Sophia was looking on her phone, as she would be every time the screen lights up. She wants to look. She was looking at the photo and she kept going, church, my church, looking at the building, my church, and out. So I was like, well, that's your church building, darling. That's your church building. That's where you go to meet with the church. That's your church building. So some people think of church building as the church. Mm-hmm. That's all they know of church, is that it's a building, it's a place where people go and meet. But what Paul's meaning is what many of you already said. It's about community.
Yeah.
It's about family. Right. It's about unity. It's about God. It's about traditions and liturgies and missions and money and time and a place on the calendar and all of that. Mm-hmm. Because it's about us. It's about people. And all of those things actually are true of people. Mm-hmm. We have traditions in a family. Some of us have been brides. Some of us are still yet to be, and some of us will have a bride. Some of us will have a bride. So all of those things are part of what church is. And it's a place where God is glorified. And we are the temple. You know, the Bible talks about us being the temple. We are the place where God is glorified. Not just the building, but within us, within our lives. We are the place where God is glorified, where he lives and dwells and moves amongst us. And in Matthew 16, verse 18, Jesus said, I will build my church. And I think that's really important that we remember we are God's church. We are not our own. Our lives are not our own. This is not our church. Durham Community Church. Mm. This might be the church where we belong right now, but it's not ours to control. It's God's church. He is an authority over our lives, over us as a people, as a church. So I've discovered that there are three main ways in which we can look at how the church is central in God's purposes. Well, for tonight's purpose, there are three main ways. There are probably others. There are other people who are more biblically aware than I am. So, three things in which the church is central. Okay? The church is central to history, to the whole of humanity. Church is central. God is at work all of the time. God has always been at work through time and through people. Since the beginning of our understanding of time in Genesis, God has always been at work to fulfill the plan that he devised before that time began. Mm-hmm. Before our time began, God had a plan, and it was to have a people that he could have a relationship with. God is a relational being, a relational person, if you like. It's hard to think of God as a person in that sense of like you and me, but because relationship is so much at the core of who God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, he actually wanted to share that. And so that's why he wanted to create a people through whom and with whom he could have a loving relationship. So right from Adam, all the way through the Old Testament, Abraham, Moses, the Israelites, King David, the prophets, and many more through the New Testament and to us today, God longs for relationship. And that is the purpose for our being, for us actually existing, is to have a relationship with God. And Jesus and his church, us, we are at the centre of God's eternal historic plan and story. Throughout the whole Bible, and I'm not going to unpack all of that tonight, there are so many ways in which we can see Jesus is at the centre of everything that happens, and we, his God's people, are, because God's heart was always to gather the precious people to have relationship with him. In the Old Testament, we see that through the Israelites, the people of Israel. But in the New Testament, there are references which show us we are connected to the Old Testament story. It's not just, oh, well, that's the Old Testament, and that was then. The people of Israel were the God's chosen people, and they didn't measure up. And so Jesus had to come, and so that we could have a place. No, we are connected to the Old Testament people and story. So in Romans 4, verse 16, it says, we are Abraham's offspring. Now, Abraham is talked about in Romans a lot because of his faith. And his righteousness was, God's righteousness was credited to him, was given to him because of his faith. And he lived that life of faith like we live a life of faith. And all the blessings that were given and spoken to Abraham's life, we have today. All of that stuff that it says in Genesis about Abraham, about his offspring being blessed, we have today in our lives because we are God's people. We are his church today. Mm. Then in 1 Peter, these are just a couple of examples that I pulled out. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9 says, we are a holy nation, God's chosen people, priests. And this echoes God's words to the people of Israel in Exodus, because that's exactly what he said to the people in Exodus. After when Moses had gone up the mountain, he said to Moses, this is what I want you to say to them. If you will keep my covenant, you will walk in relationship with me, you will be a holy nation. You will be my chosen people. You will be priests and kings. And then he says it again to the church, 1 Peter. So the church is not just, I thought this was great, I read this in a book and I just thought it was too good to not use. The church is not just something in the middle of a sandwich between Israel and Jesus' second coming. We're not just something, just kind of, the church is not just something in the middle, like the sandwich filler between Israel and the Old Testament and Jesus' second coming, when he'll restore the whole of creation and everything back to their original glory and purpose. We, as the church, or the climax of God's plan. We were part of the plan all the time. Mm-hmm. We are part of, just the way that the people of Israel are part of that plan, they were God's first people, if you like, chosen people. We are still part of that today through our faith. And we have the privilege as the Church of Christ of being used by God, like it says, to display his wisdom even to the heavenly realms, to make God known, the wisdom of God to be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, to show his wisdom in the spiritual realm. That's a massive thing, and we could spend hours unpacking even what that means. So I'm just going to just leave that as a thought. That's something we could look at another time, or you could just, you know, dig into that a bit more yourself. But that's part of who we are. We are part of God's salvation plan. We have the privilege of being the people that God, like he did through the people of Israel, used the people of Israel. God uses us to display who he is, to display his power, to display how his wisdom works. You know, when we put our trust in God and we submit our will to his will and we see how things work out in the fullness of time, it's beyond understanding sometimes, isn't it? And then we look back and think, wow, Lord, I'm so grateful for your wisdom. I'm glad I trusted you in that moment instead of trying to push my own will and purpose through, because, you know, our wisdom is just so pathetic and minute compared to God's. Mm-hmm. But we're not just showing wisdom, God's wisdom, to ourselves or to other people, but into the spiritual realm. We are living testimony in the spiritual realm to God's power, God's grace, God's mercy and love. So that's, in brief, how the church is central in history and in God's purpose and plan. Secondly, the church is central to the gospel. And I've really enjoyed this part of it, actually, the study that I've done. Because Jesus died and rose again not only to save individuals. He didn't just die to save me, a sinner, or Joanna, or Julian, or Ben, or Tom, or every single one of us. It's not just about the individual, or it is about us being individuals in our own right. It's so he could save the whole of humanity. His heart is big enough for the whole of humanity. And so the gospel is about restoring relationship with God. And so establishing us in his church, as his church, it's about that living out of that relationship that is restored. We, like I said before, about us being, we are the ones who can demonstrate God. We have the opportunity. This community that we are, mm-hmm. is very different from the community of the rest of our street. Mm-hmm. We live in a very different way to the rest of our street. And the rest of our street don't live in connection with one another. We are from different parts of the world. We're different ages. We have different life experiences. We do different work. And yet, we've been made one community. Mm-hmm. And that's what the gospel does. It unites, it restores, it reconciles. But it doesn't just reconcile us as individuals to God, it reconciles us to one another. It restores our hearts, it restores our sense of purpose and destiny. And that takes time to unfold. Obviously, that's not a kind of a one-stop shop, if you like. As soon as you become a Christian, your life makes sense and everything drops into place. But because we are saved, we begin that journey of restoration. Mm-hmm. And we're not only redeemed, we are brought into God's family. And Ephesians 2, verse 19 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers. We're not even foreigners and strangers to one another anymore. But to God, we are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people, and also members of his household. Because we're not just reconciled to God, we are reconciled to one another. And the good news of the gospel is that there's an opportunity for a new society, a new way of living that is better, a new way to have a sense of community and connection and family, because we're united in our faith in Jesus. We're united by our faith. He is the head of the church. Ephesians 2 goes on to say, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. Mm-hmm. And in him, you too are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. And that means us as a community. Mm-hmm. We are being built together. The Church of God, wherever the Church of God meets, it's being built together to become that dwelling place. It's just, we know that sense of us being the temple of the Holy Spirit again. We are the dwelling place of God. Mm-hmm. And when we gather together as a church community, there is that richer sense of the indwelling of God, if you know that sense of the presence of God. Another way in which we are, the church is central to the gospel, is that we have one mission together. In Matthew 28:18, it says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. That's our role as a church. And that's certainly our role as a church here in Durham, isn't it? As church planters and church plant team, we have a mission. We are called to be a body together, to be on mission and to proclaim the gospel. So we're not only the beneficiaries of the gospel as an individual, we as a church collectively have been brought together because of the gospel, and then we are sent out because of the gospel. So the gospel is central to the church, and the church is central to the gospel. And the third thing, the third way in which the church is central, is that it's central to Christian living. Being part of this church is central to our lives, needs to be central to our lives. If the church is central to God's purpose, as we see in history, you know, the Old Testament, the New Testament, and so on, and if it's central to the gospel, then it really should be central to our lives too. It's not an add-on. Well, if I can be bothered, I'll go. If I'm not too busy, I'll go and meet with the rest of the church. It needs to be central in our lives because we need one another. Mm-hmm. Relationship can't happen if we don't see each other. If we don't talk to one another, relationship doesn't happen. And so it's so important that we understand that being part of this church and when gathering together as church needs to be a central part of our lives. We cannot take it lightly that we're part of Christ's church. It's not about, well, we've got to be there because we're part of Durham Community Church and it's the most important church in the whole of the nation or in the whole of Durham. No, it's about we're part of Jesus' church. Mm-hmm. That's why it's important. Not because it's Durham Community Church or Elam Pentecostal Church or whatever. It doesn't matter what the name is. The fact is that we are Christ's church, and that's what makes it important. And that's why it needs to be central. That we are a community of believers, the Bible tells us, who are called to build one another up. 1 Thessalonians 5. Build one another up. Hebrews 10 verse 24 says, spur one another on in the faith. You can't do that if we don't connect with each other, if we don't spend time together, if we don't have relationships with one another, if we don't share life with one another. How can we build somebody up if we don't see them or speak to them? We are called to live together in relationship, to love one another as part of one body. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about, just as a body, although it's one body, there are many parts, but all of its many parts form one body. So it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit. We're called to live as one body. That means we need one another. If some part of the body is not working properly, then the whole body lacks. So when I had an ear infection last week, my ear wasn't working properly. Not that it works wonderfully a lot of the time, but it was even working less well last week. My whole body was suffering. I was feeling unwell. I had a lot of pain. So it gave me a headache, and I was just feeling a bit tired. I didn't sleep very well. It affected my whole body because one part of my body wasn't working properly. And so that impacts on how, if we see each one of us as a different part of the body, then we each have an important role to play when we gather. We each have an important role Monday to Sunday in how we connect with one another, how we look after one another, how we communicate with each other, how we spend time with each other. That is all part of the body working well together. And through that, actually, we're demonstrating this new society, this new restored humanity that God came to do with Jesus. When Jesus came, that was part of what Jesus was doing through his work of reconciliation, was to restore our relationship with God and with one another. And this all needs to be in our thinking and understanding when we gather together, when we gather together to worship, when we gather together to talk together, to have fun together, and to do what, like we did the other week when we talked about one thing that God had been speaking to us. You know, I don't know about you, but I was so blessed and encouraged a fortnight ago when we sat in the other room and talked about, oh, God spoke to me through this verse, or I saw that eagle and God really spoke this to me, or I've been struggling with this and I need your prayers and I need your help, and this really encouraged me. We were all actually built up. That's how we build one another up. You know, the Bible talks about singing psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and making melody and speaking the word of God and encouraging one another. And we do that when we spend time together. And that, you know, those times when we're just having a cup of coffee and chatting, that is just as important as when we're sitting down to pray or have a Bible study. When we make a phone call because somebody comes into our minds, or if we're awake in the night and somebody comes into our minds and we take a few minutes to pray, or whatever it is, that's about building a community of faith. That's about living together and connecting as a body. And we all have an important part to play in that. It's about how we live together and our mission, how we carry God's heart for the lost, how we express that or encourage that in one another's lives. So, I think I've said quite enough. So, the church is central to history, to God's story. It is central to the gospel, and it is central, needs to be central in our lives. So, we're going to take a little bit of time in small groups to talk about what does that mean for us in our everyday life then. What impact should that have? What kind of church are we? What kind of church do we want to be? What kind of church, what do we have weak areas that we need to build into and strengthen? What are our strengths that we can maybe even give out to other churches or to other people? Mm-hmm. How can we support one another? What does all of this look like Monday to Sunday? Okay, big questions, I know. So if we could get into maybe three groups,
yeah,
take a bit of time, 10 minutes or so to just have a quick see what you've gleaned from all of that, and then we can feedback what we think. All right then, what does that mean for us then? How do we live with church at the centre of our lives? What does that look like Monday through to Sunday?
Joe said intentionally.
Mm.
Intentional.
Mm.
Oh. She said that relationships don't just happen. You have to plan and work and see people and prioritise, and they have continual contact and that kind of thing.
Plan, arrange, contact.
Yeah.
Time. Okay, good.
a genuine interest in people, which will lead on to affection.
Hopefully.
Chris.
Interesting. Interesting. You find out I don't like you. It's possible.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't mean you have to like everything about someone.
Oh, no.
To love
no.
someone, does it?
It's true. Mm. You're right.
Practical living.
Practical living.
Okay. Can you say more about it?
Expand on that.
Mm.
What does that mean?
One that I can think of is everybody pitching in to take me to chemotherapy. Mm.
So helping. Mm.
Doing as well as saying.
Yeah.
Mm. Helping Jill with meals, considering she's got a...
Yeah. So practical support, yeah. Practical living.
Yeah.
Chris said... Be vulnerable.
Just being honest, I think, is a better thing to say.
Honest?
Yeah.
With
honesty.
Yeah, so we were saying if what we said on the other sheet was true, which is that we're a family, then a church should be a place where you are when you're not trying to pretend to be something else.
Mm-hmm.
No
and,
pretense, very good.
Yeah, as Joe put it, warts and all.
Yeah.
Warts
and
all.
Yeah.
Well, no masks.
Yeah.
Don't come in smiling.
That's
at people.
True.
If you're really feeling low, we need to know that so that we can support one another. If we just come in every week pretending that everything's great and everything's wonderful and we never feel tired and we never feel lonely and we never feel down, you know, it's unreal, isn't it? And that,
but
you can't...
it does help.
No, it doesn't. No pretense. So why? Because otherwise, if we can't be real, we can't give the right kind of care and support.
Yeah.
We can't. We don't know how to pray if we don't know that there's something that somebody's struggling with or is a difficult situation or whatever has a big effect if we just pretend.
It's like you, if you come in hungry, you can just ask Michelle or Sue for a biscuit.
Yeah, I had biscuits out on the plate. We were getting the dinner ready and she was like, can I have a biscuit now? I was like, what? Fine. Biscuits before dinner.
I can still eat my dinner.
You did.
We also talked about wisdom, how we spend time, and... we talked about the story of Martha and Mary. So serving all of this is important, but not at the expense of forgetting that we're a child of God as well.
Yeah.
So I've experienced in the past when I had duties in church that like my role as leading worship every week when I was at school leading worship every week was more important than my position as a son of God.
Oh.
And that doesn't mean that I shouldn't be serving, but it means that in the story of Martha and Mary, Martha is doing good things in the kitchen. Mary sits at Jesus' feet. She knows that that's more important.
Somebody once said years ago, keep the main thing
the main thing.
Yeah.
She chose the better way, I think Jesus said, didn't he?
Yeah.
She's chosen the better
way.
Yeah,
so wisdom about
that. Wisdom.
Yeah.
About your life purpose kind of thing, you mean?
Like, are your priorities?
With time and priorities, yeah.
Priorities.
Yes, don't make the church God.
Yeah,
say that one.
That's true.
Because some people do.
Mm-hmm.
Having your identity in Christ rather than in the
role. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a Milton Jones joke that says churches are a bit like helicopters. Because if you get too close, you get sucked into the rotors.
Oh, I like that one, Chris.
So our identity is in Christ and not in what we do.
Yeah, and not in rotors.
That's very important. That's very important.
Everybody's responsible. Not just one person.
Mm.
I know I come from a culture where you have the pastor of the church and... basically, he is everything.
Mm.
All words come through him. All blessings come through him. Kind of thing.
Mm.
But every single one of us has a place, has a task, has, and you know, we're all responsible for what we have.
That's good.
We do have, by necessity, Jeremy and Sue, Michelle and Hilton, but we all have to play a part.
Humility. Be a humble chair.
Yes.
Very good.
And we said to not forget the joy as well. I forgot what else we said about that.
Joy, celebration.
Yeah.
Fun.
Yeah. Mm. But having fun together is just as important as doing things like this.
Which are the opposite.
There's no fun in this at all.
I do love, though, actually, we are a church that laughs a lot together.
That's just you, Michelle.
That's not just you.
Well,
no, it's true. It's
kind of like you got
thing.
That one a little bit late.
What's up? I was looking for the response.
Oh, okay.
No, I was checking the response. I'm checking the body language.
And at the same time as that, though, is remembering the roles that you have in church to keep them fun, so that because if you lose sight of why you're doing it, and you lose sight of the joy of why you're doing it, and the joy of actually doing it itself, that just becomes a drag. And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's not fun.
No.
No. Just a drudge.
Anything else?
Not having the mindset, the individual mindset that Jeremy said this one, I won't be missed.
Yeah.
And I said, if your lungs decided, well, I don't want to participate.
yeah.
You know, every part of the body is important.
Everybody has a part to play.
It's
yeah.
true. There's no appendix in the church.
Yeah.
Oh, you're on a roll today, aren't you? You're on a roll.
I think we might be losing the joy a bit here.
Joy's just starting.
That's the pain and suffering.
Once and all.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, there's some absolutely brilliant things there, and I guess the challenge for us is to look at ourselves. If this is what we are saying we would like to be, this is the kind of church we want to be and that we have an intent to be, where are we in that personally? I think it's a good
carriers of hope.
Mm-hmm.
She talked about us reflecting. Does your life reflect the hope of God to other people, corporately and individually?
I think the thing I would add into that list is that we are on mission, but our mission is in terms of we are God's image, we are God's image bearers in the church.
Said something a bit like that.
You know, I think that's important for us. That because we're on mission, actually being together, when we gather together, we actually represent who God is, who Christ is amongst us.
Mm-hmm.
And people come in and actually they sit, want to be part of that family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Teaching, you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Place of learning.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good. Anything else you'd burn into going? Do you want me to put teaching on?
I just got that High School Musical song in my head. Forgiving one another.
Oh, forgiveness, that's a really important
one. It's
true.
Mm.
Yes, I'm just looking to see if that's with anyone else. No.
Well, I think we're better finish there. Time's getting on.
Somebody's ringing.
Oh, we're going to carry on.
Brilliant.
We can carry on.
Great.
Cool. So it'd be good to take a little few minutes to pray about that.
Mm-hmm.
Pray those things into us as a church community.
Mm-hmm.